What's up, homegirls?
Welcome to Benevolence, where kindness matters and all are welcome to the table. We are your hosts, Ceci
and Nisha. Benevolence is a ministry where we uplift and encourage through topics of conversation that are important in our Christian walk.
We are going to get real. We will focus on topics that we're curious about and what many are afraid to talk about.
We saved the seat just for you. So sit back, relax, and let's get to it.
You are listening to Episode 5, Seasons of Love, Part 2.
All right, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yo.
Hello. Oh, I'm really so excited to have you guys here.
We made it back in the
podcast.
Let's get it. Yeah. DV3 is here joining us at the table.
DV3.
Devotion 3.
Devotion 3. We have Anthony Diaz. We have Hector LaRaza. And we have Gio Diaz joining us on an episode of Benevolence. Thank you guys for joining us.
Yes.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
So we're so excited because as Nisha and I were planning this episode, we thought, why not bring you guys back on an episode of Benevolence just because you guys are on a different season of love. And
we're so happy and excited for you guys.
Yes. Everybody's in a different season of love. And we wanted to kind of like recap, get some advice from you guys on what you have learned throughout the course of these past couple years. And when we did Season of Love Part 1, I think it was only Season 2 of Benevolence Podcast. And everybody was in different situations. We had Anthony, who was married, obviously, who is still married. Still me.
Yes.
And then we had Hector, who was single at the time. He was single. And then we had Gio, who was also single at the time. So before we go into, we kind of catch up on where everybody's at. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
All right, so I'll go first. My name is Anthony, husband to the beautiful Ceci Diaz, soprano in the in our Devotion 3 group. The falsetto most of the times, but glad to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. My name is Hector Ilaraza.
I am
married to the wonderful Jocelyn Emily Lopez, the one who stole my heart. The cream of my coffee. You know what I'm saying? The milk of my cereal. You know? No, excited to be back and excited to share the good news of this new season of my life.
That's
right. Yeah. Nice. My name is Gio Diaz. Full name Giovanni Diaz. Nobody calls me that, but I am engaged. I am a fiance to the beautiful Ariana from Thrones. Yeah. Shout out to her. We will be getting married soon, which I can't believe. It's been 25 years, but the good God has done. So, but I'm excited to be here and just share my side of things. So,
nice. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for that. So let's just get straight to it. Let's not waste any time.
Yes.
Because we are in different seasons of love. Let's just start off with the one who got married the longest.
Yes.
Or who has been married the longest. So,
Anthony.
Quickly, babe. Just.
How did you meet Ceci?
Yeah.
Can you share with us? How did you meet Ceci?
All right. Yes. So for all of you guys who may not have heard this story already, I know some of you guys who are, closer to us have probably heard this a bunch of times, but let's go through it. So I first met Ceci, or at least I've seen Ceci at church. I was part of a choir, and I remember when they first introduced her family as a new worship pastors of the church. So that's when I first noticed her. And then obviously throughout the times, I would see her through throughout different services and throughout church. But I want to mention one specific time where, she really caught my eye. And that was when she was singing Mary, Did You Know? At the altar all by herself. But it was just beautiful.
I remember that.
At that moment, I just really, I was able to see how beautiful she was and how beautiful she sang. So I felt like that was like, you know, like one little seed got, you know, got planted in me, because when I saw that, you know, I always wanted to, you know, I always knew that with the wife that I chose, I wanted her to have that quality of singing. That way, you know, we'd be able to sing together. So that's that. Mm-hmm. So a few years after that, just to kind of, you know, shorten it up a little bit. So Ceci started to like reach out to me, try to invite me over to like new services.
I'm laughing because I was there for everything.
There.
Everything.
I did too.
So, all
right,
so all right, so I'm gonna be honest with y'all. So at first I didn't think nothing of it. I just thought she was like probably part of a team that was like, you know, sending out invitations to different people just to try to, you know, get new guests over to the new services. So mm-hmm. That's how I thought of it at first. You know, little did I know she was, you know, trying to plant her seeds on her end. So
yeah,
I probably went one time. I saw her and to be honest with you, I didn't even say hi to her. Yeah. I was playing hard to get.
Yes, you were.
And then, so moving forward, where things started really ramping up. So there was this youth conference that, to be honest, I did not want to go to. But my mother bought the ticket for me. So you know, me feeling bad, I'm like, I got to go to this youth conference. Also keeping in mind that Ceci was also inviting me to this youth conference as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, again, being honest, I went that first night without even letting her know. And during the service, unfortunately, my phone died. So I didn't even get to reach out to her and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So be it. That night finished, I didn't even tell her I went, none of that. So I'll let her tell her part of that story another time.
Yes.
So anyway, the next day, go to the next youth conference. And what do you know it? So I'm sitting in the back pretty much by myself because I get there a little bit late. So I just find any seat that I can get, which is all the way in the back all by myself. And little do you know it, like during like a little stoppage or whatnot from the worship, I noticed Ceci coming over, and Hector too. I saw Hector.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw Ceci, you know. So you know, we said hi, and she asked me, "He's like, oh, you're sitting by yourself?" I'm like, "Yeah." So pretty much next thing I know, after like a few minutes, I see her coming back. Keeping in mind that this is like a huge hall, you know, that we're in. She's coming back, and I guess she brought a seat all the way from the front. And I'm like, what is going on? Did she really do this for me? You know, like, that for me, yes, that's when it really clicked. That's when I was like, okay. I
gotta play the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, girl.
So she sat next to me, and honestly, like, we didn't even pay that much attention to the service, you know, because we were just, you know, talking and, you know, getting to know each other. From then on, everything kind of went kind of just really quick. So that's how I met my wife, Ceci.
Yeah, great.
That's amazing. Okay, how you guys met? Oh yeah,
yeah.
So we've been married from now for 10 and a half years. That's that decade.
That's
mark.
So huge.
Huge milestone, you know, for our marriage, and it's
wow.
Thanks, babe.
Wow, all right, that's nice.
Good stuff.
So moving on to our newlyweds, our recent newlyweds, Hector.
Yes.
How did you meet your significant other?
Wow, what a unique story.
In five minutes.
Yes, definitely. I'll give you the very short version. I met Jocelyn on the first time I saw her was on social media. I saw her and it was a post that she posted. She recently went to Spain to preach and she was singing and she preached. And I saw a video of her preaching. I was like, and I think it was Ed Marie that shared the post on her story. Wow. Shout out to Ed Marie. And, I saw the post, I clicked on it, and man, I was like, wow, like, holy smokes, who's this girl and where she's from? And
I DM'd her. Once I DM'd her, just the conversation was like, I was like, hey, how are you? I know this is going to be out of the blue and you might not know me, but I just wanted to say, you know, that was a powerful word that you said, and I would love to get to know you, you know? And she was like, oh, okay. You know, so then after that second, I think literally we talked 12 days straight after that conversation, like day and night. I was exhausted. I was just like, and it clicked so fast, and we kind of just started to talk, and that led to a friendship of we literally were in a relationship on and off for 5 years. It's real deep, the story. Mm-hmm. But we were on and off for 5 years, and I saw something in her that I needed, and she was, mm-hmm. she was so strong. She believed in me, you know, she loved me beyond words can ever say. And I believed that. And when I started to believe that, that's when I really can say that I fell in love with her completely. Like, it was no ifs, ands, or buts. There was a season where we kind of like separated and we didn't talk for a whole year. That was a unique season. And when I realized that I lost my wife, was in that season. At least I thought I did. And I knew that if I were had a chance or even, you know, to do this again, I knew that I was going to take advantage of it. And I called her on New Year's Eve. I think it was a New Year's Eve service. She blocked me from everything. So I had to use DB3's page. She blocked me from everything. She blocked me from everything. And I had to use DB3's page. And I got a hold of her again. And I said, hey, I just want to say sorry. And if you don't want to talk to me, that's okay. But at this point, I just want to be your friend. And if and boom, she was like, I don't want to be your friend. But I knew that this time around I needed to show her, you know. And I was consistent in my approach. And I chased her, man. I literally chased her every day. I was intentional. And I let her know that I loved her. She gave me like a number, a numeric system on, you know, where we were at. And it was from 1 to 10. And I was at 0 for no lie, like probably like 2 months. And when she said 1, when I asked her, where were we at? Because I used to ask her this every day. I was like, where are we at today? And she was like, 0, 0, 0. And then one day she goes, we're at a 1. I said, I'm going to marry you and I'm going to make you my girlfriend today. And I did everything. I put it on social media. I didn't even ask her. I just went, I went crazy. I was like, God, I knew that this was the one. And literally a couple months later, I engaged her. And that was it, man. Sky's the limit. I've been married now 3 months and some change, about to be 4 months. And it's the greatest decision that I've ever made in my life. She is the greatest blessing. I see Christ in her. And that's the confirmation that, that I live with on a day-to-day basis. She extended me mercy and grace when I thought I didn't deserve it. And one of the reasons why I can say that I wake up and I work hard for her, because she deserves the world. And I love her so much. That's my girl.
Aww, that's so cute. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
What about you, G? How did you meet your significant other? Share
so,
with us.
First, I'd like to start out saying this. I've been single my whole life. I've lived 24 years, and then, but I've always knew Ari. Like, I've always seen her around. We went to the same church for a long time. You know, we all went to Calvario. So I've always seen her, always knew of her. And at the time, I first seen her, she was with someone at the time, so I never saw her in that way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I respected that. And then things ended between them. And then several months later, I actually remember I was actually in the living room with Anthony. We were watching a game, and I think it was a Laker game or something like that. And I was just sitting there, and I randomly get a DM from her. She slid in my DMs and on Instagram. And she asked me, you know, if I wanted to go to like this Dante Bo concert in Southeastern. And I was down. I was like, yeah, I'm down. Like, who else is going to be there? Someone else was supposed to be there, but they actually ended up not showing up. So I guess that was God.
Mm-hmm.
So ended up just being me and her. I went to the concert. And then from then on, we just kept talking and just talking and just keeping that constant communication with each other and texting from then on. And then after that concert, we went to, we both went to the gathering place together. And then from there, we went to like mold and it started getting to different dates where we get to know each other more. And then, that's when I realized, I'm like, wow, like I want to pursue this woman and I want to continue to get to know her. And I think she has potential to be the one for me. And lo and behold, that ended up happening. I took her out to Fun Spot as our first date and we had such a blast. It was freezing that day. She was wearing like a dress too. But I used that as an excuse. I could put my arm around her.
Oh my God.
And then we've just been together ever since that, and that just clicked our relationship, and now we've been together for a year and about 4 months. And then after we hit a year, a few weeks after that, that's when I asked her to be my wife, and she said yes. And now we're engaged. She's my fiance. Mm-hmm. We're actually gonna get married in a couple of weeks now, so that's just exciting.
Yay.
I can't wait.
Yay.
Wow, awesome.
That's amazing. And it's crazy how, like, I don't know, you were in a season of like singleness all your life, you know, and
all
like
my
I'm
life,
sure
yeah.
you had, I'm sure, like, if we were to go back to the other episode, like, your answers. Mm-hmm. would be different, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't it's funny. Back then you didn't go through anything, you know?
Yeah,
it's funny because I remember the last episode I was like, I was saying I was being dumb. I was like, girls, if you like the man, just reach out for them, you know, like,
oh,
shoot your shot and look what happened.
Look what happened. That's crazy.
He was probably listening.
Yeah, you never know.
That's awesome. Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys for sharing that. And I know that your significant others, your wife and your fiance, they're going to feel all bubbly inside. But going back to like some individual questions about marriage and relationships, going back to Anthony, share one thing you have done in your marriage that has contributed to its success. So it's been 10 and a half years for us. So what is one thing that you've done in your marriage that has contributed to its success? And I'm not going to say that our marriage is perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not. But we have succeeded in certain things, you know what I mean? Throughout mm-hmm. the different seasons of this 10 and a half years. So, you know, we still have a long way to go. We're still growing within time mm-hmm. and our age and different seasons with our daughter. So what is one thing that, looking back in the 10 and a half years?
Obviously, there's so many different things, from setting goals, obviously, you know, prayer. If I can kind of sum it up, I would basically say to be intentional. Be intentional with the day that you have. It's very easy to look forward and try to, you know, plan for the future. Years down the road. But honestly, guys, all we have is just today, the day that you are. So that's the day that matters. That's the day that if you're with your spouse, your significant other, that's gonna count. You know, like that's the day that you're learning each other. That's the day that you're growing your relationship. So I would say, you know, being intentional and kind of being along that line of being intentional, I would say like praying for that other person, like constantly. So every day is always a prayer. You know, I pray for Ceci every day, every morning, every night. You know, it may not be all the time like with her, but know that in my head, on my way to work, you know, on my way back from work, just praying for her, for our family. So that's what I would say.
Nice. And then that's what have you learned about marriage in general after all these years?
This is a question for me?
Yeah.
Okay. What I've learned after all these years, for 10 years, is that marriage is not easy. Marriage is not a piece of cake. Like, you work through it and you're constantly learning. You're constantly learning each other. But honestly, I would say marriage is a blessing. In Ceci, I find the person that completes me. She's the person that, like, if I'm me being the shy person I am, she's the one that's outspoken. Me being weak in certain areas, she has that strength. You know, she just checks off every box that I could ever look for in a wife.
Good answer.
Thank you so much for sharing, Anthony. Now, this question goes to Hector. Hector, how are you and your wife able to make a long distance relationship work?
Holy smokes. I'll tell you that is not for everybody. That is this, a long distance relationship is not for everybody. I tell you, we have in the amount of years that we were long distance, it was tough. It was really tough. I think what helped us though was communication. It's funny because some of the things that people struggle with in their relationship is communication, but that's all we have. So even now that we're married, you know, we strive in our communication. You know what I'm saying? It's like when she's feeling some type of way or I'm feeling some type of way, we're right there. We nip it in the bud where we're like, hey, you know, how are you feeling? You know, what's going on? You know, we identify anything that may be unspoken, you know, real quick. And I think long distance relationship is all about communication. It's all about communication and trust because those are the only two things that you kind of can stand on. You know, I think what helped me was knowing that she was a woman of God. You know, so I know she wasn't crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I knew that she honored our courtship, you know, and I think what was challenging for me was to grasp the idea of being with somebody far away. And that's what was the inconsistency of the 5 years of being on and off. It was really hard for me on my end because I wanted somebody that I can, you know, go out and I can just hang out. But it was the best thing to happen for me because I needed that. I needed that, and all it was God, man. It was God's hand, really like protecting us. And I knew that if it was in person, like if we had that luxury, I don't think we'd be where we are today. And I think it was God's covering. So, if I would say this to somebody who's stepping into a long distance relationship, this is the person that God has for you, because it's just easier to go through it when it's that way. You know, I'm sure that long distance relationship has all its challenges, but if it's the one, it's the one, man. You make it work. FaceTime has been our friend, you know, saying that's basically all we had. And we had arguments, we had laughs, we've had dates, we've just made it happen. We made it work. We watched movies, you know, we just made it happen, you know, and here we are.
That's awesome. That's great. Thank you, Hector. Now, moving on to Gio. Since this relationship was your first, what was something that you did not expect, like, either from the relationship or like, as a whole? What did you learn? Because, you know, going into a relationship with no prior experience, it's like, it's kind of shocking because it's somebody new in your life. And, you know, and I remember our conversations when you were kind of like pre-dating or pre-talking, we were like, yo, get ready because your time, you know, all that stuff that we would say to you. Oh, yeah. And when, you know, when lived with us, that was exactly what we saw, you know? So I'm sure that's part of your answer, but what was something that you learned or that you did not expect? Coming into a relationship for the first time.
I learned a lot. But one of the main things is that I've learned is you know how a woman is, you know, because I grew up with boys, I grew up with brothers, so I never really knew like how to treat a woman or how like how she thinks or how she is, you know. So I was able to understand how a woman truly is, you know. And they can be like an independent woman outside and a strong woman outside, but like deep down, you know, they want someone to love them and to cuddle with them and to hold them and to be there for them in the moments of weakness, moments of insecurities. You know, a lot of women deal with insecurities, but they're looking for that man to keep them in their arms and make them feel secure. And that's what I've learned. I've learned how to deal with a woman, and I've learned so much about a woman. And that's exactly who she is. And I've learned a lot from her.
That's awesome.
You learn a lot, kid. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah. And you're gonna keep learning.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Still learning.
Okay. I have another question. This question anybody can chime into. But the question is, what advice would you give to a couple who are trying to stay sexually pure until marriage? Who wants to answer?
Oof. Long distance.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good one.
Oh man.
You want to go, Gio?
Yeah, anybody.
I mean, Gio, you currently work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently living through it. So
yeah.
I mean, honestly, just staying strong. Like, you gotta both just have trust in each other and have trust in Christ. Because if one of y'all are weak, then it's like the other person has to really be strong. Because it's like,
yeah,
if, you know. So that's just to continue to just build trust in one another and just not, you know, I know it's said by a lot of people, but like not to put yourself in those situations.
Yes.
You know, where you're alone.
I will piggyback off of Gio and say that, like, you guys definitely have to work together on this. Like, this has to be a decision y'all need to talk about and decide on from the beginning, so that when one's weak, the other person can be strong. But basically, you know yourself better than anybody. So if you guys need to set those boundaries, then you set those boundaries. If you guys feel like y'all can't take it or hold it, then y'all make sure that you're always out in public, you know? Set yourself up for failure by going into private area. Because the moment you're going into those private areas, that's it. You're not setting yourself up. So stay in public, stay out in the light.
bring a double date. Go on a double date. Hang out with people. You know, friends.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important person. The most important part is that cover yourselves. Cover yourselves. The covering of accountability. And in a godly relationship, you'll know. You'll be like, hey, listen, we want to honor each other. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like that's how you know too. That's another confirmation. You know, when the person is, yo, we're gonna rock this out. You know what I'm saying? So
I want to add one
boundaries,
quick thing.
Man. But
I want to add one quick thing, because obviously, you know, we're talking about our experiences, and maybe, you know, we were sexually pure, you know, before marrying, but there might be others who haven't been. So I was
saying, you're
in that position where you guys, you know, you're in a relationship and you aren't married yet. And hey, let's say maybe you've done it, you know. It's not too late to say, you know what, moving forward, let's honor, you know, what we have in this relationship, and let's try to remain, you know, this time pure until we do get married. You know, it's never too late.
And I think that's beautiful what you said, and just to piggyback, honor, man, I honor you. And look, that changes up the game. You know, girl, you all that a bag of chips, but I honor you. You know what I'm saying? You is the last Coke in the desert, but I honor you. You know, when you speak that, language, it changes a lot, especially coming from the man. You know, a woman wants to feel like, yo, he can handle it too. Because usually it's always wants to be, usually the woman is the crutch and, oh, come on, babe, we can do this, you know. But when the man kind of takes the role and say, you know what, I honor you. Ooh, that's a game changer.
You know what? It makes it special when that time comes. When you guys join in one, and you start to see it more in light of what God meant for that act to be, you know.
Amen. Amen.
So good. Amen. So good.
So good.
Next question: What advice would you give to someone who is dating someone else who is not equally yoked. Now, if you're new to this, if you're new Christian, or you're chiming into this benevolence podcast, equally yoked means like either one being a Christian and one not. And usually we, growing up, right, we were told and we were advised to date others who are on the same level with us spiritually. So what advice would you give to someone who is either dating someone or liking someone who is not Christian and they're Christian? So just kind of throwing it out there.
I can talk about this. Anybody else can too, but I guess being with somebody I'm equally yoked is just, man, it's tough. It's so tough. It's like, at least in the seasons of my life, whenever I, you know, was with somebody that was unequally yoked, you feel it. It's different. It's like heavy. It's like, you feel it in your heart. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, hey, listen, this is what I believe in, and this is what I want to do. And, but it's, that person doesn't receive it that way. It's more like, oh, why are you trying to change me? Or why can't you accept me for who I am? You know, and I think that it's so important to be in a relationship where Jesus is the center. You know, I think that's a game changer. Jesus has to be the center. You know, and granted, there's going to be people with different religions, and there's going to be people, you know, who are listening to this, and they're going to be like, oh, but I'm not a Christian. But to be like-minded is important. And to be like-minded is to understand, okay, these are the core values that I believe in, and we're going to exercise them together. I think that that just creates a stronger bond, a stronger connection, a stronger accountability system. And to being with somebody that doesn't think like you or have those core values as you is really tough to do life with. And I don't know about you, but I can't change nobody but myself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Love is powerful, but it ain't that powerful. You know what I'm saying? To be able to change somebody, and you know, they'll probably pretend they changed, you know, and then God forbid you marry them and they're a whole different person, you know, behind closed doors, man. That is, you hear some serious cases where, oh yeah, I'm all in. Going to church with you, and then, you know, behind closed doors, man, you already knew this, you know, and but you submitted to that, and you know, then you fight for your marriage at that point. You just fight for your marriage, and you grow together as best as you can, and there's still hope for those people, you know what I'm saying? But
Jesus, it's tough because a lot of Christians can think like, oh, but I'm bringing them to church and stuff like that, but then you put yourself in dangerous territory because, yeah, you may think you're converting them, but they, just like you think you're converting them, they might even convert you into their ways and take you out from knowing Christ and things like that. So you're going to dangerous territory when you have someone unequally yoked. So,
yeah, I totally agree. And I would just throw out one analogy out there that actually my wife uses a lot. And it's that one where, if you just imagine yourself standing on a chair and let's say you have your partner, it's a lot easier for that partner to bring you down from that chair than for you to bring that person up to where you are and stand together.
Yeah.
So I'll just, she likes to use that analogy.
That's good. That's good.
That's
powerful.
Good. That's good.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, guys. Next question. What advice would you give to someone who has never been in a relationship and feels like their time is running out?
Gio.
Who wants to chime in?
Yes. Honestly, I'll just say you have to just let it go. Like you can't keep putting yourself in situations where you keep trying to find this person and putting your interest in man when you got to put your trust in Christ. Like, you have to completely let it go and just know that once you put your trust and your love and your values and interest in Christ, you won't feel like your time is running out, because all you need is Jesus. All you need is Christ. And he's so going to give you all the desires of your hearts. Like, all you got to, when Ari came to me, like, it wasn't until I let go of everything. Like, just everything. I was like, God, like, I don't care about this. I'm not going to keep thinking about a girl. I'm not going to keep thinking like, when am I going to get this person? Like, I'm just going to seek you. That's all I want to do, because you're the only one that matters. At the end of the day, it's just you, you and Jesus. And so, yeah, I would say, like, your time is not running out. Like, as long as you just keep seeking Christ, you won't feel like it is.
That's good.
That's good.
I want to say something about that, too. I think, you know, it's crazy. My marriage has given me the understanding of my singleness season. It's crazy how it's, ironically, how it does that. But, you know, in singleness, you're so worried about, man, when is it going to happen? Or, you know, do I have what it takes? Or da da da, this and the third. But when you come to the understanding of you're complete in who you are, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, I can love Josh because I love me too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can love Josh from a healthy place, because I knew that there was times, even in my singleness, when we were talking, but we weren't talking, where I would go out on a date by myself. I'd be so frustrated with life, da, 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 but I would go out alone. You know, my parents would be worried as heck, but I would go out alone, you know, and I would talk to Jesus. I remember going to a park and saying, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. You know, I surrender the idea of what I think I want, you know, and I put it in your hands. And once I kind of did that, I was like, I'm content. And then, yeah, so in your season of singleness, surrender. Mm-hmm. Because in marriage, you're going to have to do the exact same thing.
That's good. Yeah,
that's good.
So yeah. Singleness teaches you how to be married. My God. Yeah.
So good.
That's awesome. All right, we have two more questions left and then we're done. What advice would you give to someone who is married and has major conflict with their in-laws?
You got mad quiet.
I have great in-laws. I really haven't.
Hey, my in-laws here. Are the
same.
Not married yet.
In the bomb.com. I have great in-laws. I think, I don't even know.
Either way, like, what advice would you give to someone? What do you think how do you think they should handle that?
I would say, like, if, you know, if you feel like you're having conflict with the in-laws, mm-hmm. try your best not to bring that into the relationship. The conflicts with the in-laws or the conflicts with the in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep the relationship separate from that. Obviously, like what Hector was mentioning, like, communication is like the most important thing. Like, you don't want to stir up conflict, you know, and because that will mm-hmm. bring in that conflict into the relationship. So, you know, talk with your spouse, you know, if there's something that the in-laws might've said that, you know, disturbed you, you know, you talk with them, and that's, I feel like that's the best way you're going to get through it.
Yeah, I think communication is key. You know, communication is key.
That's good. It's hard. I know it's hard.
I know.
I'm blessed with good in-laws, so.
Yo, I'm blessed too, man. Shout out to Gladys and Hector. I love you guys.
All right, guys. Last question. How were you able to keep God in the center of your marriage / relationship?
That's a good question. That's good. I'd say just continuing to just keep that communication, like, with each other about God, you know, just continue and just pray with each other. I feel like that goes such a long way. Just when you pray with one another and you feel that intimacy, like, you feel like we're not alone. Like, God is with us in this, like, and like in the center of it. So just pray with your significant other.
That's good.
How do you maintain, what was the question again?
The question was, how were you able to keep God in the center of your marriage / relationship?
So for us, me and Josh, I'll tell you a game changer moment we had. This is a game changer moment. We just got our house. We were putting stuff away, da da da. And I remember, like, we were talking about this dreaming and life and everything. And bro, I tell you not, I kid you not. I knelt down to pray. Like, I kneeled down to pray. And I put worship music on, blah, 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 and I knelt down to pray. And I was in the presence of God. For those who know me, I'm a boohoo crier. You know, like, when I surrender, I surrender, and I'm in the presence of God, I'm locked in. And I was praying, and I was in his presence, and I was asking God for guidance, da-da-da, you know, certain decisions we had to make. And all of a sudden, I didn't say this. She knelt down right next to me, and she put her hand, her arm around me, and she started praying for me. And God, like, I felt God like I never felt before in my life. And it was like a seal, like this. I knew that everything was going to be okay. I knew that my wife got me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Not only that she's got me through, you know, the day ins and outs of life, but she got me and she lifts me up in prayer. And bro, because I do the same for her. You know what I'm saying? And man, putting Jesus at the center of it all is so key. Praying together, you know, even like Anthony said, when you go to work, man, I plead the blood over my wife. I hope she has an amazing day. You know what I'm saying? And I'm intentional too, like with everything that I say to my wife, you know, God is faithful. Like, you know, we're going to get through this. You know what I'm saying? I speak life over, because that's our job. You know what I'm saying? That's our role. You know, yo, baby, everything's gonna be okay. Jesus at the center of it all. We got this. Come on, girl. We got this. Let's keep pushing. Let's keep seeking his face. You know, and man, I've seen the hand of God move in these past 3 months of my life, in my marriage. That it's just, people ask you how you know. I'm living the best life ever. You know what I'm saying? And it's because we put Jesus at the center of it all. So that's it.
I guess I would say, question was, how are we able to keep God in the center of our marriage? So I'm a visual person. So for me, I like to visualize, like, yes, it's me and my wife, but it's God with us as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's important to, like, analyze, like, ourselves. Like, obviously we know that the Bible says that, you know, God is love, and what does the Bible say about love? And it says love is patient, love is kind. So I feel like it's important to ask yourself, am I patient with my wife? Am I kind to my wife? Am I keeping records of her wrongs? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
so good.
Analyzing yourself and, you know, and answering those questions. And it's okay, like, if some of those things are off, but that just means that, okay, I got work to do. I feel like,
come on,
like, God's given us the task. Like, although, yes, he's in this relationship with us, but you as a husband, you as a wife, God has given you that task to show that love that he has for your spouse, but through you physically, right? Like, right
so
there
good.
With them. So I would say, like, keeping that in mind. And then, you know, like what I mentioned at the beginning of just, you know, being intentional every day, like taking advantage of the day, because that's all we have.
I don't give room. It's funny that you say that, Ed, being intentional every day. I don't give room for my wife not to know that I love her. I tell my wife I love her every day. I tell my wife that she's beautiful every day. I wake up in the morning, she might be waking up out of bed, just you know, waking up out of bed, you know. I'm like, girl, you looking so good right now. I love you. You have an amazing day. I make sure she knows that there never be a day that she may doubt it, because it's like you said, being intentional and being like Christ. You know what I'm saying? Bro, his love is immense. His love runs deep. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we're the embodiment of that to our wives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on.
So good. So good.
So good. Gio, you got your marriage counseling done already.
I know. I'm set. I'm set, baby. You ready? So funny.
Well, guys, that's it. We just want to thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much,
on
guys.
An episode of Benevolence. You guys are blessed. You guys are very special to us. You guys are family, obviously. Yeah. Before we go, I want you guys to kind of tell our listeners what's going on with DV3. Tell us to tune in to something that's very special on YouTube. Talk a little bit about it. Market it, you know, market yourself.
Share your social media.
But go ahead.
All right, so if y'all haven't heard already, shame on you. Y'all need to hit our YouTube channel up. Devotion 3, right. DVOTION 3. Make sure you check out our latest single, Por Siempre. Like, you will not be disappointed. Trust me. Now, we got some stuff in the works. So you guys ain't ready. I know we're putting on a little bit of a pause, a little bit of a break. As we talked about in this podcast, you know, we're transitioning in our lives. But, hey, Devotion 3 is still here. We got songs in the works. So make sure y'all subscribe. And just stay tuned. Stay tuned. We got something coming real soon.
We also want to thank you guys. We also want to thank you guys that did watch the video. We got over 50,000 views, which is incredible to us.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
You guys give us 1,000 subscribers. So we do thank you guys for that. Definitely.
Yeah, we can't do it.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
That's it. Big things coming for you.
Oh, awesome.
All right, guys. Well, also, once again,
thank you.
Go ahead.
For having us. Thank you for having us, Sessie.
Yo, for real.
On Benevolence.
Thank you.
This was a lot of fun.
We appreciate it. Hey, we bless this podcast. We bless your ministry.
Yes. Amen.
And we know that God has and is working through this. So keep it going. Amen. Keep it going strong.
Amen. Thank you guys for joining us on an episode of Benevolence. We love you. And we'll see you next time.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. So as we finalize this episode of Benevolence, we just want to remind you that you will always have a seat at the table. You are loved, you are chosen, and you have a purpose.
Yes, so thank you all for tuning into Benevolence, where kindness matters and all are welcome to the table.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Benevolence Podcast for more fun posts and videos.
Benevolence Podcast is available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And stay tuned. For next Monday's episode of Benevolence, you don't want to miss it.
Bye!